Good evening and welcome to the Centerville Church of Christ. We're glad to have you all here tonight. We had a wonderful worship service this morning, and we're going to continue tonight. Songs will be led by Daniel Dresser, prayer by Dr. Jerry Nash, scripture by Jackson McDonald, closing prayer by Cameron Peters, and Todd will have our lesson. Let's humble our hearts as we prepare to worship.
There is the only answer to
Hey. Almighty God, the great I am, holy is thy name, and holy thou art to be worshipped in all aspects of our lives. We come before thee, thanking thee, Heavenly Father, for all the blessings thou hast blessed us with. We're so grateful for all the good things that we have. But we know man has made this a sinful place in so many ways. And we pray that thou would help us to resist these temptations that are set before us and those things that are ungodly in thy sight. We pray, Father, that thou would bless each and every one of us that's gathered here tonight. We're mindful that there are many who cannot be here, who would like to be here. We pray for them. We know, Father, that there are many that have not obeyed thy gospel. And we pray, Father, that thou would bless them, that they might hear the word, and that they might be moved by its tremendous influence and power. Father, we're mindful of our preachers and missionaries who teach the truth. We pray for them, for we know, Father, it is a difficulty in many ways. We pray for Brother Jack and the Turks and Caicos. We know that during this time of year, for the next few months, they have to worry about the hurricanes that come and with such destruction. We pray that they might be spared and not have this to deal with, and that the congregation there might grow and prosper. We pray for Emmanuel Mwaizerwa in Uganda. We pray, Father, for them for this time. They're under a lockdown because of the COVID-19 virus, and they're not allowed to worship. We pray, Father, that thou would bless them, and we pray that his work of communicating with those all across Africa might continue. We pray also for, in the work in India, Dr. Manny, we know that they are having such a difficult time there with all the COVID problems and other various problems that are inherent with the country of India. We pray that thou would bless his work and that he might continue to be fruitful there in all the aspects that he is doing. We pray, Father, here also for our minister, Todd Parsley. We pray that Todd might continue to be strong in the faith and continue to feed us the word as it is written in the Bible, and that he help us understand what our obligation is unto thee, unto our fellow man. Help us to encourage one another. Help us to be examples for each other. Help us to do what we can to share the gospel with all the world. And help us to be a shining light in this world of darkness that we deal with so much. We pray, Father, for our elders. We pray that they make sure that they continue to feed our souls as thou would have us to be fed. We know that they have many jobs to do and many things to consider, but we pray, Father, that thou especially bless them in their efforts to make sure that we're being taught the right things and doing the things that we should do as thou would have us to do. Father, be with us as we go through this coming week. Help us to be what we should be. Help us to stand strong in the faith. Help us to be faithful. Help us to show others what it's like to be a true Christian. And help us to be what we should be in thy sight. Forgive us our sins and help us to be what we should be according to thy will. Forgive us our sins. All this in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading this evening is Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you.
On the fly. He did a very good job of doing that. Appreciate that very, very much. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Hope you all are well. Hope that you've had a good Lord's Day today. On behalf of my wife, I want to take this opportunity to thank many of you for the calls and the cards and the prayers and the many meals that have been dropped by the house. I can't thank you enough for the meals, but I know that we certainly appreciate your love and your concern for her. It was good that she was able to be here this morning, but that just took the rest of the energy that she had, and I think that she's pretty much been down all day today, but we're just thankful that she's showing improvement. Thankful so much for your love and concern for her. And we certainly do want to thank you for that very, very much. I appreciate it very, very much. She appreciates it very, very much. And we love you very, very much. In Matthew chapter 22, we have an interesting setting that is taking place. And we have here on two accounts to where, excuse me, they are trying to trick Jesus in to get him to say something that might contradict the old law, to where they could throw that back at him to try to discredit him as being who he claimed to be, as being the Son of God. There, beginning in verse 15 and going through verse 22, we see that the Pharisees try to cause him to stumble, and he appropriately is able to handle them. Beginning in verse 23 and going through verse 33, the Sadducees step up to the plate and they try to throw a question to him about the idea of whose wife will she be after she's gone through all of these brothers in life and then she dies. And there he gives this great answer that the Lord always knew how to give and he always knew the right thing to say when he says there in verse 29, it says, Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. I've been reminded this past week, well, this past couple of weeks, in talking with different folks, that this verse comes more to more, it seems, to life to me in talking with people than maybe ever before in my life. And that is the idea that a lot of people have a lot of questions that I believe that they should know the answer to. But they fall into the same category as what Jesus says to them here, that they do not know the scriptures. There are things that we have settled in heaven. There are things that God has given us that we're not going to be able to change. There are things that God has given us in his law. There are principles, there are commands, there are whatever you want to call them that are so-called written in stone. As the Ten Commandments were written in stone under the old law, God expected a certain way of life from them. There are certain things that we have that are that way in the New Testament. It's a matter of knowing the scriptures. I'm reminded a lot of times in the Old Testament of the story of Jonah. You go and you read that great story, and there's that what is seemingly this unbelievable story that God presents to us there of his prophet Jonah, who refuses to do what he wants him to do, and God causes this great fish to swallow him, and there he lives in the belly of this fish for 3 days. What an unbelievable, to some, story in the Bible. But it is again a reminder that God is very serious about us doing what he has commanded us to do. That God is very serious about us understanding the Word of God. We're reminded in the New Testament to be ready always to anyone that would ask us of the hope that lies within each and every one of us. That hope is that hope of salvation and how that it may come about and how we have that assurance in our life to know that when this life is over, where we're going to be. There are some things in the Bible that we need to be aware of. If you turn over to Acts chapter 17, in Acts chapter 17, we find there an interesting account from the Apostle Paul. Paul, in his many writings to the many different places that he had visited and always trying to make sure that people were living the kind of life that they were supposed to live, that we find there, picking up in verse 21, it says, "For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but to either tell or to hear some new thing." Now, what's he talking about there? He's talking to them about that all they have is what we would hear and see what the Lord would refer to as those who would have itching ears. All they were concerned about was, I want a crowd around me because I've got a story to tell. Know anybody like that? You know anybody that's always wanting the crowd around them? So to keep the crowd around them, they'll come up with some kind of new story that you've never heard before. Did you ever have that classmate when you were in school that if you'd done it, he'd done it better? You think back, I think every class had them. We had one. I won't tell you his name because for some reason he might listen to one of these. I don't know, and I certainly would not want to embarrass him. But he was one of those individuals that if you'd done it, he had done it better. And I don't care what was going on, whatever function the school was having, he wanted the crowd around him. He just so happened to be the high school quarterback for the football team. He wanted everybody around him. But he demanded everybody's attention. And he would always come up with these stories. And we just look at him and with that look of, you got to be kidding. There's no way that's true. Oh, yeah, it's true. If you've done it, I've done it better. And what Paul was saying here is, look, in the world of religion, you know, I'm here and I'm witnessing all these things that are going on, and all I'm witnessing is you all trying to come up with something new. Sound familiar? We live in that world today, in the world of religion. We live in a world where there are folks who say, well, you know, I've got this new prophecy. God spoke to me, and he wanted me to tell you this. Several years ago, I had a phone call from an individual. He said, I want to have a religious discussion with you. And I said, that'd be great. Love to. I knew the guy. And he began the conversation like this. The Lord spoke to me and told me to tell you this. I stopped him right there. And I said, there is nothing new under the sun. God is not giving any new revealed revelation to anyone. This conversation doesn't need to go any further because we cannot rely on your credibility because I do not believe that God has spoken to you. He took offense to that. So be it. What do you think Paul's doing right here? What do you think Paul's addressing right here in Acts chapter 17? What do you think Paul's dealing with? Now, if you look on and continue reading there in verse 22, Paul says this. Then Paul stood in the midst of the I can't even speak tonight. I'm going to do like Harrison. And moving on. Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. You are very religious. I think we confuse someone being very religious and someone doing something according to Scripture. Not everything that is done in, quote, the name of religion falls into the category of right. Not everything done in the so-called name of God is done according to Scripture. I perceive in all things that you are very religious. Paul was saying you're superstitious is what you are. You're superstitious. He says in verse 23, for I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. And he begins to do so. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and of earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And then, if you fast forward and go all on down, look at what Paul says in verse 30. Truly, assuredly, pay attention. That's what the word means. These times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to what? Wait a minute, didn't he just say that I perceive that in all things you are very, what? Religious. That you've got a heart for some form of religion, but Paul here is saying it's not the right form of religion. Some would say, stop right there. You're meaning that somebody could be wrong in regards to religion? Paul here is facing it face to face here. Jesus faced it in Matthew chapter 22, where we started. Your lack of knowledge of Scripture and of the power of God. Look what he goes on to say. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. I even saw an inscription that read, to the unknown God. Brethren, we live in a world today where inevitably it seems that people will believe anything. And I mean anything. There are things that I read and things that I see and things that I hear of things that people are being so caught up in that I sometimes have to step back and take a breath and wonder, what has the world come to? But we're no different today than they were in Paul's day. We're no different today than we were in Jesus' day when they were constantly trying to find some new approach or new way that inevitably would fit their own lifestyle and not the lifestyle of God. You see, we've got to fit our life into what God wants and stop trying to fit God's life into our life. I lost my jar I was going to bring tonight, and I apologize for that. I had that thing as of 2 days ago, and I don't know where it went or what happened to it, but let me tell you about my jar, Brother Jerry. I've got a jar that's bigger than my jelly bean jar that I showed you a few weeks ago. And in that jar, I take and I fill it up to the top with marbles. Maybe you've seen this before. And every one of those marbles represents our life, things that are important in our life, and other aspects of our life that we deem very high on our list of priorities. And then I take a lid and I put on that jar. And they're so tightly fit in there that when you can't hear them shake. They're just crammed in there. And then I open that lid and I take a golf ball. And that golf ball represents God. And I take that and I hand that to someone and I say, now I want you to take my jar, Daniel, full of everything in your life that's important. And I want you to make this golf ball fit in that jar with all of your marbles, and then put the lid on it. Well, you just saw me not be able to do it. So how would you do that? Can it be done without losing any more? We don't want you to lose your marbles, Daniel.
Oh, that's comforting.
Okay. I got an amen from Mina back there. I don't know what that meant. So how do you do it? Can it be done? Well, what you have to do is you have to dump out all the marbles. You have to dump them all out. We'd dump them out here on the thing. Instead of filling the jar with everything but God, you take God and you put Him in the jar first. So there God is in the center of your universe. There He is floating around in the jar. And then slowly, one by one, you start adding everything else that's important to you. Everything that you put in there first. Everything that you put in there before you included God and you couldn't put the lid on. You start filling one marble at a time. And before you know it, every marble will fit in the jar. And you pick up the lid and it fits perfectly. It's a wonderful analogy. It's a wonderful visual aid to help us realize that everything that we crowd our life with, every wind of doctrine that may come around that we deem important, that we put before God in every walk of our life, will not allow room for God until you put God in the center and you listen to what God has to say. When you put the golf ball in first, everything else fits. And the lid fits tight. Now, if you don't believe me, I'll find my jar one day, and you can come to my office and we'll sit down and do that. Or feel free to go buy a jar, a golf ball, and get some of Daniel's loose marbles, and you'll make that fit. It's a good example, it's a good reminder to us about what God wrote in Psalm 119 in verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your word is settled in heaven. You go back and we go back to Jonah. That interesting story of Jonah. You know, Jonah had it in his mind that Jonah could do it his way. Jonah is a reminder to us as well that God is going to be very persistent and that God is going to be very faithful into what he's commanded and what he's promised. And it's not a very popular idea in the world today, but nonetheless, it is what God has commanded. And here we find Paul reminding them, truly these times of ignorance, God overlooked, but he's not going to overlook it anymore. It's not going to be that way ever again. Now commands all men everywhere to repent. Why, Paul? Because he has appointed a day. He has appointed a day in which he will judge the world. And I love what Paul writes here. That he will judge the world in what? Righteousness. Righteousness. Judgment Day is not a fearful day to a Christian. Judgment Day is not a day of fear to a Christian. It's a day of hope. It's a day of great expectation. It's a day of reconciliation. We talked a little bit about this morning. We sing the song, there's a what kind of day coming? There's a great day coming. Is it great to you? The lesson tonight is simply this. Matthew 22, 29. Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken. You are mistaken not knowing the scripture, nor the power of God. And Paul's response in Acts chapter 17, I even see the inscription to the unknown God, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Do you know the scripture? You answer that for you. Do you truly know the word of God? Are you confident in what you believe because you know you read it in the Bible? Do you have the assurance to know of salvation because you know the scriptures? I don't want Jesus to look at me someday and say and look at my life and say, you know what? You were mistaken. You were mistaken. You were in error not knowing the scripture nor the power of God. Do you have that confidence tonight? I hope so. We're going to sing the invitation song Daniel's picked out for us tonight. We sing to encourage. That's all we do. You folks in the Church of Christ, you sure like to pass judgment. No, we don't. We love people. You love people, don't you? We love everybody. But if we love you, then we're going to show you what the Bible says. And if the Bible convicts you of the error of your ways, that's God judging you. not me judging you, not anyone individually judging you. That's the Word of God. I mean, you imagine Paul looking at them. I perceive that in all things you are very religious. You even build a statue to something you don't even know. Well, let me tell you about him who you do not know. That's basically what Paul said. And he began to preach to them. Let me tell you about somebody you don't know. Let me tell you about somebody you do know. You put him first in the jar, everything else fits. If your life is a mess, if your life is in turmoil, try unpacking your jar and putting God first in your life and then pack everything else around it. And maybe, just maybe, our lives won't be such a mess. I believe that with all my heart, and I hope you do as well. If we can help you tonight in any way, you need to obey the gospel. Baptistry is ready. Make that good confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess his good name. We'll baptize you tonight. If you need the prayers of the church, we give you that opportunity now as well as we stand and sing. Daniel?
The voice of the Savior has come. The cross where he died is inside. He now
take the Lord's Supper this morning. You can be dismissed down to the chapel, and you'll be served as Daniel leads us in the verse of the song. Stand up. We don't have any new announcements that I'm aware of. Carter came up to bail Harrison out. You got youth announcements you need to make? Okay, so we're good there. College secret involvement, the list is back there in the lobby. As you go out to the left, please sign up for that. If you got any questions about that, you can see Ken and Tina Dickerson about that. One announcement that I will make tonight, put on your calendars. You know, we've pretty much got through 4th of July, and we're looking forward. We've got back-to-school events coming up. The month of September, we haven't forgotten that last year was our 150th year. So we're going to, in the month of September, celebrate 150 plus one. And that's what we're calling it. And what we're going to do with that is we're having an old-fashioned, what I called, a month of Sundays. The first three Sundays in the month of September, we will have church, eat, church. Those first three Sundays. You'll come for Sunday morning, we'll have Bible class, we'll eat a meal together, and then we'll have our afternoon service that time as well. We've got a guest speaker coming on the first Sunday in September. You'll get me and Matthew that second Sunday in September, and then the third is going to be our 150 plus one blowout celebration, whatever you want to call it. Jim Brown is going to be here. He'll be speaking in our morning worship service. Then we'll have a combined class after that. Brother Brian McAllister will be here, and he'll be speaking at that time as well. So we want you to be preparing for the month of September. Be preparing for that, especially that third Sunday in September. Invite everybody in your family that you want to come and be here. I'm going to tell you right now, the goal is 1,000 people. Can that be done? And some of you are looking at me like I just grew a third ear. Okay, we had a Friends Day when I first came here that we were over 600, so I'm not asking for a whole lot. Okay, 1,000 folks for that third celebrate 150 years plus one. What a wonderful history and heritage that we want to share with everyone. We're going to invite the whole community to be here. Okay, so big plans for that. Put that on your calendar. Daniel, lead us in a last song, and then we'll be dismissed. Thank you.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are so thankful for the blessing of this day that you've given us to praise you and raise up your name and all of its glory, Lord. And we want to ask you to bless us with safety throughout the rest of this week. And Lord, we just ask you please be with those who are sick or those who are serving in the military, Lord. You know their needs, and we ask you to bless them. And we ask you to keep us safe until we meet again. In your son's name we pray. Amen.